Yeah, it's a privilege again to have the opportunity to share the word of God this morning. I must admit that the topic of the Holy Spirit is, well, a very complicated topic that I wouldn't have accepted to preach about some years ago. I mean, even when we were preparing the preaching rota, when I suggested that topic, I expected that someone else will do that, but in the end, I'm doing it. But I thank God that I am not the person that will be in the center, that he himself will have something to say to his church. The passage I'm going to preach about is from the Acts of the Apostles, or maybe we can even better say Act of the Holy Spirit, because we see the Holy Spirit more active in the Acts of the Apostles. So I'm going to read the passage and then pray and then start with the sermon. So please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We are going to read from verses 1 to 13. So Acts chapter 2. The passage is entitled here in the NIV, "The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost." When the day of Pentecost came, they, that are the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I just noticed that I have to record the sermon. Let me restart reading the passage again. So Acts chapter 2 says, "The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost." That's the title of the passage. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, but Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have too much wine.'" Let's pray. God, our Father, you that reveal yourself as the Creator, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit, this morning, as I'll be bringing a word to your people, Lord, not what I want to say, but what you want to say to your people. Not what they want to hear, but what you need them to hear. And I pray that the voice of my flesh should be silenced, and that not by might or power, but by your spirit, your word be preached today to your church. In your name. Amen. So I'm speaking this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit. As I said in the beginning, speaking about the Holy Spirit is a very difficult task. But nevertheless, through the help of God and His Spirit, I will try to bring His words to you this morning. So the Holy Spirit is a very difficult topic for many reasons. Whenever we have to preach on the Holy Spirit, we need to know that we are on a slippery ground. We are on a slippery ground because first, the different opinions on the Holy Spirit, even among Christians, not even in the world. In the passage, we read that some people that didn't know the Holy Spirit, that they were saying that the apostles were filled, that they drank wine. But this is something external about the Holy Spirit. But even within the church, we have some differences according to where we came to faith, according to our own experiences. Our position to the Holy Spirit differs. The second thing which makes it difficult to talk about the Holy Spirit is the misuses in this area. If there is an area in the Word of God that has been such misused that we Christians are discredited, that people don't even want to listen to us, or that people even sometimes say, we can't trust you Christians anymore, then the Holy Spirit is one of those areas that have been misused. That's why this morning, I am not going to preach out of experiences. Don't expect me to share my experience with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that all of you, you have the Holy Spirit and that you have had experiences with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to share my experiences. We are going to read the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit. And the second thing, the misuses of the Holy Spirit should not be a reason that should keep us from speaking or from preaching about the Holy Spirit. At the time of Reformation, for example, one of the reasons the Lord's Supper was changed, not taking every Sunday, was not because the Word of God forbids it or not, but people just said, no, we don't want just to look like the Catholics, so we are going to change our practices of taking the Lord's Supper. So there is nothing wrong with having the Lord's Supper every Sunday or even whenever we meet as believers. But just because we don't want to look like some people, we can't just take out some passages from the Word of God. But as for us as children of God who believe in the Word, we should make our position on the Holy Spirit based on what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. We might have experiences which can serve as examples, but the center, the beginning, the base, the foundation of the teaching from the Holy Spirit should be in the Bible. So this morning I'm going to say something about Pentecost, and then I'm going to say something about the Holy Spirit, because before we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, what is the role or the mission of the Holy Spirit, we need to know who the Holy Spirit is or what the Holy Spirit is, because I intently say who and what. Because some people think like the Holy Spirit is just a mere power. Some others think like the Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity. So I'm going to say something about who the Holy Spirit is. And in the end, I'm going to say something about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, coming to Pentecost, it is commonly known and thought that Pentecost marks the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mark the birth of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the most important things. The Holy Spirit has not started existing at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the faces of the water. So we can't say that the Pentecost marks the beginning of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. But if the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning, the next question that arises is, why does it have to come at Pentecost again? So what is the meaning of Pentecost today? Or why do we have to remember Pentecost? So Just as we read in John 1, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. And I believe that if there had been a chapter or a book in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, it could have also started like in the beginning was also the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. And now the Pentecost marks the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we can even say that marks the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was there from the beginning, and his coming in the world marks the beginning of his ministry in a different way. And in the same way, Pentecost marks the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is to continue the work that Jesus started. So we notice, if we read the book of Acts after Pentecost, that the way the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Acts cannot be compared to the ways the Holy Spirit mentions in the other parts of the Bible. So one of the missions of the Holy Spirit is, or was, but it's still actual. Jesus, when he was going, he told the disciples something very interesting. In John chapter 16, verses 12, we read Jesus saying telling his disciples, "I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So here we have in one sentence what the Holy Spirit, why does the Holy Spirit have to come? Christian mentioned when she was praying, or Sherry, that God said he will not leave us as orphans. We can see that in the Old Testament, God was present. He was the God of the children of Israel. I mean, we had a theocracy. I mean, their king was God living, working with them. We can see that when they were in the wilderness, during the day, God was working before them. In the night, he was the light showing them where to go. And when Jesus came, it seems like the center has been shifted to the Son at that time. And now in the last days, after Pentecost, I mean, the last days in the widest sense means the time after the resurrection is the last days in the widest sense. So, and the Holy Spirit comes to continue, not to replace Jesus, but to continue the work that God and Jesus have started to do. So the Holy Spirit will come to teach the disciples things that Jesus could not teach them, to continue building them, being good disciples. So this does not mean that Jesus has not finished his work. Jesus has finished his work of salvation. He has finished his work of saving the world. But during the time between us being saved and going back to the Father, we have to live on this earth. And to live on this earth, God has sent the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to give us the strength to remain in faith, to stand firm in the truth that Jesus has taught his disciples. So, who is the Holy Spirit? And what is the position of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity? So, before one can correctly understand the work of the Holy Spirit, we must first all know the Spirit himself. One frequent source of error about the Holy Spirit is that we just try to attempt to discuss about it without even finding out who the Holy Spirit is. So I think it's of highest importance for us to know who the Holy Spirit is, because that will determine our relationship to the Holy Spirit. If we think that the Holy Spirit is a mere power that just comes on believers at a certain time, we will not give the Holy Spirit the worship that it deserves. But if we see the Holy Spirit as being equal to the Father, to God the Father, to God the Son in the Trinity, that changes radically our way we relate to the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the most simplest definition of the Holy Spirit, we just say that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. We read in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is God Himself. Because when I say the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, it might sound obvious to you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. But it is important to say it here again, because we can also see in the Bible that all spirits are not from God, or that we can have some other spirits that are not God's spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we read, for example, that when Paul and Timothy were on a mission trip, that a girl who had a python spirit was running after them and shouting, "These men are servants of God." So we notice that that girl had a spirit in her, but that wasn't the Spirit of God. That was a python spirit. But we, as children of God, we have the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father, to the Son in the Trinity. The biblical teaching on Trinity includes the Holy Spirit, and it embodies four essential affirmations about the Christian faith. First of all, we must know that there is only one God. There is one God. Some people try to criticize us as Christians and saying that we are polytheist. There is only one God who exists eternally in three people, in three persons, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So these three persons have the same attributes. Because when I have to wrestle with my Muslim friends whether Jesus is God or not, I just ask them that we can just have a clear answer to our discussion if we define what are the attributes of God and what are the attributes of man. Or the simplest way is, what makes the difference between God and man? So we have some attributes that are only God's attributes that we cannot find in man. And those attributes, I'm going to mention them in the next minutes, we find them in God the Father, in God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit. So, very important, each three of this person is fully and completely God, but still, they are not identical. They are not identical. We can't just decide to replace in the Bible the places where the Holy Spirit is written by God. It might make sense if we say that God came at Pentecost. It might make sense. We can understand it. But you know, the writers of the Bible, these were spirit-filled men. These were people who exactly knew what they were writing. So we can't just say, sometimes to avoid conflicts in discussions, we hear even among believers just saying, let us just say that it is God doing it. Don't try to go into details like the Holy Spirit, the Son, and this and that. But man, you notice that in the Bible, there are places where the Bible says God, there are places where the Bible says the Son, and there are places where the Bible says the Holy Spirit. So these three people, these three persons are not identical, but they are all there in unity. For example, who will you say is preaching to you this morning? I am the one, I am the person preaching. But someone that knows the parts of the body will also know that I am not preaching with my hand or with my leg, but that it is my mouth speaking right now, and my mouth is part of me. So God the Father has revealed himself as the Creator, as himself. He has revealed himself as a Son and as the Holy Spirit. And these three entities are very important in sound biblical teaching, because once we exclude, we don't even need to exclude, or once we neglect one area, we are not living a balanced Christian life anymore. to live a balanced Christian life, we must really have the three parts in a church. Every Christian church needs from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We cannot just select our teachings based on our taste, or based on the misuses, or based on fears. But our teaching should come from the Word of God, and that Word of God teaches that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now, when we say that the Holy Spirit is God, please, before you leave or stop hearing the sermon, first listen to why the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit has attributes of God. The first one is we have the attribute of eternity. We humans die. We are not eternal beings. But God gives us eternal life because He Himself is eternal. If God wasn't eternal, He would not be able to give us eternal life. He cannot give us something He does not have. Then we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, about the eternity concerning the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works, serve the living God." So the Holy Spirit is eternal. It was there in the beginning, hovering over the waters. It came at Pentecost. It was there in the prophets in the Old Testament. It is there in the last days. It is eternal. So eternity is one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. It's why we can say the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. The second thing is omnipresence. I am right now here at Karimi's place. I am not at my home. I can't see my children. But God is omnipresent, you know. And this attribute of God should be really taken seriously in this time of online church. For God is omnipresent. I might not see you in person. I might not meet you in person. But it is important for us to know that God is omnipresent. That our brothers who are not right now listening to this sermon, that God is with them. And that we understand that our prayers work like a phone call. I can be sitting here and call Ben when he is sitting. And if I pray here, I can pray for my mom in Cameroon. I can pray for people in Syria. I can pray for people everywhere. Because God is omnipresent. We read in Psalm chapter 138 from verses 7 to 10. "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." So the Spirit of God is also described to be omnipresent, to be everywhere. Next attribute is omniscience. Only God knows everything. Only God knows that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11, we read, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So the Spirit knows God. "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So the Spirit of God knows everything. The Spirit of God is omniscient. And the next one is omnipotence. God can do everything. So does the Holy Spirit. We read in Luke chapter 35, chapter 1, verses 35 to 37. "And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, you, your relative in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible to God. Next quality is holiness. God makes us holy. We are not called to be holy because we do not sin anymore, but because God has clothed us with this quality, with this attribute. The Bible says that we are holy because God is holy. So is the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1 verse 14 says, and it was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, having read these passages, we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Is the Holy Spirit a power? We won't say yes, it's just a mere power that is on us. But we have clearly seen that the Holy Spirit has the attributes of God, and that the Holy Spirit is equal in the Trinity. No wonder that in Matthew's baptismal formula, Matthew said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three entities are there having the same place, being equal. And now that we know that the Holy Spirit is not just a power, now that we know that the Holy Spirit can deserve worship, having the attributes of God, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, if it was there in the Old Testament, if it came at Pentecost, but what is the work of the Holy Spirit nowadays? Jesus said he has much to teach to his disciples. That the Holy Spirit that will come will continue the work that he has started. We are saved. This does not mean that we can live the kind of life that we want to live. We are saved, but we need to remain faithful to God. We need to stand firm in the faith, waiting the day we will be in our Lord. And this is why the Holy Spirit plays a significant role. He is there to remind us that we are children of God. He is there to strengthen us. Now I'm going to mention some actions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts. It comforts us when we lack something, when we are sad. It comes and gives us strength. The Holy Spirit teaches. It can teach us the Word of God. Remember, when you read the Word of God alone, the Holy Spirit teaches you to understand the Word of God. So the Spirit grieves over sin. It grieves over sin, just like the Father grieves over sin. Just like when Jesus saw the sin of people, he grieved on their sin. It really touched him. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and knows the thoughts of God. The Holy Spirit determines the distribution of spiritual gifts. We read that in 1 Corinthians 12. Chapter 11, verse 11. The Holy Spirit, this is very important for us now. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8:16, about the work of the Holy Spirit, says this: the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Remember how often you or I have questioned whether we are saved or not. Sometimes, just because of the things that we are doing, just because we have fallen into sin, for example, just because we made a mistake, we start like accusing ourselves. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit assures us that we have been adopted by God, that we are God's children. It is the mark of ownership of God on us. Now, I just remember, when we talk about mark of ownership on us, that God has put a seal on us, that through the Holy Spirit, we know that we are God's children, as the Bible says that God's children are led by His Spirit. So the next point is, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this verse radically changed me when I came to faith, when I believed, when I became a Christian. Whenever I wanted to, the first day that I read that verse, I really stopped there and started thinking about who I am in Christ. Started to ask myself, so I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for me? What implications does that have on my life? It means I should be very careful with what I'm doing. I should be even careful with the thoughts that I live in my head. I should be even very careful with whatever I do. Remember, the Spirit of God is in you. You and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now, the Bible speaks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. When we hear the word fruit, it is the result of something. The result of what the Holy Spirit produces in us. So, what does the Holy Spirit produce in us? If the Holy Spirit has come to continue the work of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit produces something in us. So, we find the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22, we read, but the fruits of the Spirit. So when we are saved, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, there is something the Holy Spirit produces in us. Christian started preaching my sermon by saying the joy that we have in our heart when we come to faith. This is the first consequence of salvation. The Holy Spirit produces joy. We want to tell everybody, hey, my neighbors, I am a Christian. You want to share your faith with everybody. You are not even ashamed of doing anything or doing something. Look in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus on the day of crucifixion, the same Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching in front of 3,000 people and telling them, this Jesus that you have killed, the same person that he has denied before, he is now testifying of it. Because the Holy Spirit enables him, give him strength to do so. Another fruit of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit produces peace in us. I mean, peace does not only mean that we don't fight people. Peace means we are also reconciled with God. The Holy Spirit reminds us every day that we have been reconciled with God through the work of Christ. The next thing is perseverance. The Holy Spirit helps us not to fall short, not to give up, not to abandon the faith. It reminds us the work of Christ every day, that we have to live in perseverance, waiting for the day we will be with the Lord. Kindness and goodness. There will be a sermon of good works. Now notice here, the Bible says that goodness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not a mean of salvation. It is a consequence of salvation. We are not good and kind because we want to be saved, because we want to say one day to God that God save me because I help my neighbor, but we are good and kind because God has saved us and the Holy Spirit produces in us the will to be kind and good to people. Faithfulness. Being faithful to God, not going after other gods, not being politicized people, putting an end to traditions that are not compatible with the word of God. And then self-control. Self-control in situations where we have anger, for example, situations where we might do things which are not compatible with the will of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to have that self-control. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read something now. What I'm going to read now is a mix from a passage in a book and what I'm going to add on it about the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal in nature, but they are distinct in their role and relationship. The distinct roles typically have the Father's will, the Son accomplishing, and the Spirit applying the work of the Son. So the Spirit is clearly at work in the key events throughout the history of salvation, including creation, Christ's incarnation, Christ's resurrection, human regeneration, the inspiration and illumination of Scripture, and the believer's sanctification. And the Spirit is at work right now, helping me to bring the Word of God to you. So the reality of God's presence is brought to God's people by God's Spirit. So when we read the Word of God, the Spirit helps us to understand it and teaches us to understand it. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young people shall see vision. So these were some prophecies concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, very important, the Holy Spirit is primary the person of the Trinity at work in applying the finished work of Christ in the life of people. This is why Jesus said to the disciples that, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will come and continue the work that I have started. And the Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we are saved, that what Jesus has done is not lost, that he has saved us through what he has done. So in the book of Acts, especially, we see how the Holy Spirit is at work. The Spirit's work was often immediately manifested in the book of Acts in miraculous gifts like speaking in tongues and prophesying. I'm not going to go deep in some manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I think these might be topics we can discuss if we, for example, decide to have a series on the Holy Spirit, for example. We might go on some different aspect or deeper in the works of the Holy Spirit. But in this sermon, my aim was to present the Holy Spirit as, in a general, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And very important to understand that the Holy Spirit is not just a mere power that we have to use, but that the Holy Spirit is the one that uses us, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles. Now to close my sermon, just a reminder. If we want to live a balanced Christian life, we need from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you study your Bible. I don't know if there are no-go areas in your Bible, maybe because of the misuses, or maybe because you're just afraid that you won't understand it. You try to avoid some places in the Bible. The reminder this morning is that Jesus said we are not orphans. When Jesus was with the disciples, when they didn't understand something, they ran to their master. They said, Master, what does this mean? Same thing. The Holy Spirit is here to open our eyes, to convict us from sin, and to convict the world from sin, and to help us to stand firm in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we are celebrating Pentecost, that we are remembering that you sent your Holy Spirit to continue the work that you have started. And my prayer is that you will help us every day to understand who the Holy Spirit is, and that you will help us to let the Holy Spirit that is already in us to use us in a mighty way. And Lord, forgive our mistakes. Forgive the mistakes of those who have misused the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.